Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Turn your tax refund into a new bathroom at Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.
What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings.
I'm Keith.
And I'm Jack.
Jack's back in the dark. Jack and Keith are back from their honeymoon to Tahiti. I heard it was a lovely ceremony, but unfortunately, they've already had the wedding annulled. Turns out Tahitian marriages do not count for American tax evasion purposes.
Yeah,
so
we had
a good thing going. Turns out we couldn't save any money. So
yeah, you guys should have done your homework a little bit better.
Got a great wedding gift though.
Yes,
great wedding gift.
It is actually pretty cool. We'd also like to start this episode off because it is, I do believe, it is Veterans Day weekend. So happy Veterans Day to everybody out there who has served, and a belated happy Marine Corps birthday to all of those guys with low ASVAB scores. Fun note about the Marine Corps, something that I was sharing with several of my friends in the Air Force who are also prior Marines, is that I know loads of Marines who got out and went into the Air Force or the Army or something like that, to the point that a friend of mine who is in Ranger Battalion said the best recruiting tool for the Rangers is MARSOC. And I was like, Jesus.
Yeah. The service bleed over into the other branches is very, very real. Like a lot of the guys in the Guard up here, the reason I got into the Michigan Guard after the Marine Corps is other Marines who were in the Guard who are like, guys, it's chill over here.
Right. And what's funny is like you go from the Marines to like the Army and you're like, oh, this is so much more relaxed. I can't even imagine. Because I have a couple of friends who are Marine infantry and ended up as Air Force cops. And they're like, it's just nice over here. It's chill. And I'm like, yeah, I imagine it is. And then other fun announcements, because I know the internet cares about this. I do finally have a rifle that is chambered in a bottleneck rifle cartridge, even if according to some 30-30 is only a technicality. But it is, in fact, a bottleneck rifle cartridge. That's the Rossi R95, which is currently available. We have some new models of that dropping probably in the next couple of months as well that I think people are really going to like. And that's a really good segue to remind you that today's show is brought to you by Taurus USA and Guns.com. Taurus USA, we make cool guns. Guns.com, they sell them. Easy day.
Should do that.
So goodbye. We haven't had the three of us on an episode together in like a month. I think, or if not,
I think it's
been a hot minute.
It has. And I've had a couple of people ask me like, what's going on? Is the show not continuing? And I want you guys to understand something. We're really busy. Like,
it is November. And if you know anything about sales holidays in November for marketing folks, which is all of our day job, we don't just sit there here and wait 6 days and be like, hey, we should turn on the camera again and talk. And in the meantime, do nothing.
Oh,
marketing is our day jobs. And it's very markety out there right now. Very markety.
We also have less than 8 working weeks until SHOT Show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because if you think about it, Thanksgiving week gone, Christmas week and New Year's week gone. We have less than 8 working weeks until SHOT Show. So we're busy. But not too busy to buy a new minor league baseball team hat. These are the Rocket City Trash Pandas, and this is the best fucking hat I've ever bought. This is fantastic. All right, so this week's episode, we're having a little fun this week, guys. The news of the world is depressing, so we're not talking about any of that. If you would like to know our opinion about the news of the world or crimes or anything like that, just DM us so we can ignore it and possibly forward it to counsel for advice. This week, we are talking about battle rifles, but ranked on the hot crazy scale. So, Jack, could you explain to the lovely folks what the hot crazy scale is?
Okay, so there is the inverse law is like the hotter you go, the crazier it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's a happy zone in like the six, seven, eight, where it's an acceptable amount of crazy for an acceptable amount of hot. And then you get into like really bad stuff. Now, you've also got a couple of things that like can skew you. Like a hairdresser, no matter what she looks like, is never going to be an acceptable amount of crazy. She's always crazy.
A ginger. Also on that list. The other thing about the hot crazy,
which I want to say, Dana McLennan, Dana's the guy who came up with this. We didn't come up with this. Dana's the smart guy. Look up Hot Crazy Matrix. He'll pull up his video. I want to give that shout out there.
Yeah, the Hot Crazy Matrix is actually, it's a fun video to watch. Other things on the Hot Crazy Matrix are the hotness. Also, it can also be used as an indicator of how hot you need to be for us to tolerate a certain level of crazy as well. Yes. Like, I'm willing to put up with, I'm willing to put up with like a 7 worth of crazy if you're like a 9 hot. So, because a 7 worth of crazy is a lot of crazy. It's a significant amount of crazy. But we're going to rank battle rifles on the hot crazy scale. And what I should have done is I should have gotten a whiteboard for this and actually drawn on there. And I know that there's a way to do this using the Zoom tools, but that seems like more work than I'm interested in doing right now. So,
I have to use to put that much work in this throwaway of an episode.
Yeah, 100%. You know what sucks? We've done like thoughtful episodes. I guarantee this episode is going to get more views than most of the other ones.
Battle rifles on the hot crazy scale. That's some SEO juice right
there. It is in fact SEO gold. So let's see. Let's talk about battle rifles here for a second. So if we're making a list of the, your battle rifles, you got your G3s, you got your FALs, you got your M14s. What else? What am I leaving off of this list?
Your SR-25s, your SCARs, your 417 H&K.
Oh, we're including modern ones too.
We're doing.
I think we should take this down to, every pattern gets one entrance. Okay, so for H&K, I'm sorry, I don't think we should do the 417 because the SR-25 and it are kind of close.
Fair enough.
So H&K, they're going to get. We got the AR pattern SR-25. That's the big one. H&K gets the G3, the M14, the SCAR. What else? The FAL. That's
and
fine.
I'm going to throw in for IWI the Tavor 7.
No,
they do pay us money.
Okay, well, fine. Since they do be paying, then we will throw in the Tavor in there as well. All right, so I will start, and
actually. I'm going to pull the Tavor because the Galil 308 has a much longer history.
It does have a much longer history. However, I want to talk about the Tavor.
Okay, so we're going to do the Tavor.
Because the Galil is its own animal. So
the Galil is its own weird animal. Are there any, technically, we should probably put the SVT-44 on this list as well.
The what?
The fucking, this fucking thing. Hang on. SVT-40. Sorry, I always forget the last name of it. The SVT-40 is a Soviet semi-automatic battle rifle that saw widespread service during and after World War II.
It did not see widespread service.
It's on the internet, so it must be true.
Widespread service, my ass. That thing, like, look, I know what it is, and it's only saying, I'm now annoyed at whoever wrote this.
According to the internet, they built 1.6 million of them.
Yeah, they're like 150 million Kalashnikovs, so.
Yeah, right, like, and these things were all over the place during the Korean War. That is a true statement.
Yeah.
And probably during Vietnam. So you know what? They're going to go in there, and I'll start with the SVT-40, and I'm going to rank it on the hot, crazy scale. And it is not very hot because it is really ugly. So we're going to give this thing like a 2 for hotness. And if you don't know what the SVT-40 is, go look it up. It's pretty ugly. We're going to give it a 2 for hotness, and we're going to give it a goddamn 8 for crazy. Because I have actually fired one of these on a television show, and it took a lot of editing to make it look like the gun worked. like a significant amount of editing, to the point where going into the event where I was going to use the SVT-40, I said to the competition fairness adjudicator, hey, what do we do in the instance where if the gun fails, like we get a light primer strike? Because I'd been getting LMAB light primer strikes the day before and failures to extract and all kinds of stuff. And the competition fairness adjudicator said, oh, it won't do that. We've tested all the guns.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, uh-huh. Sure. And I would like to sell you some swampland in Florida. So I get on the gun and I get behind it and I aim at my target and it goes click. And I say, shit. And I grab the charging handle and rip it to the rear and it goes click again. I did that four or five times. I'm screaming profanities at this gun. It finally fucking goes off and I get a hit. And what you see in the edited cut version of the television show is me dropping down behind the gun, aiming in, pulling the trigger, and the gun going off, right? My partner then picks up the gun, and he gets on it, and he pulls the trigger, and it goes click and rips the charging handle to the rear, and it didn't extract the piece of brass that I had just shot, and he lets it go, and then he gets another click because it gets a light primer strike, rips it to the rear, gun finally goes off. So SVT-40, ugly and way too fucking crazy. It is a 2 on the hotness and an 8 for crazy. Nope. That's not where your balance needs to be.
Let's just say exactly. The AK worked by accident. Every other piece of Soviet machinery, not the bag.
There is a reason why there are more Mosin Nagant DMR guns than there are SVT-40s in the world. Like, people have made more Mosin Nagant sniper rifles than they've made SVT-40s.
And there's a reason that, like, the AK clone sniper rifle, like the PSL, was so popular as an adapter, because the gun would at least go off. It wasn't all that accurate, but it would go off and cycle.
It would make a noise. All right, so...
Up AK, RPK.
You are up, but you're not allowed to do the Tavor as your first one. Do a different gun.
Then I'm going to do the SCAR.
That's perfectly reasonable.
All right, the SCAR 17 was my grail gun back in the day, so I'm going to rank it a 9 on hot...
Is pretty hot.
Like an 8 on crazy.
Ooh, interesting.
Okay,
why
okay.
So crazy?
Let him cook.
Like so crazy. The reason so crazy in compared to, and we could even drop it down to a 7 necessarily, but the reason so crazy, it's hot and a little less crazy, is due to the expense and a lot of proprietary stuff that goes into it. It is a $3,500 out of the box 308. That takes proprietary $50, $60 magazines, comes with a functional but garbage trigger. But other than that, it's really light and really sexy. So it's like, it's hot, but you're throwing $7,000-$8,000 into this to get this guy the way you want.
Right. And like, it'll kill your optic.
Oh yeah. Will,
yeah. All right. My personal gun has munched 3 scopes.
Also, it will tear your thumb off.
3 scopes. It has munched 1 scope 3 times. I no longer have that scope.
Let's not even talk about the fact that there's a SCAR-only laser designator system for the military, because that thing is woo!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was always surprised shooting the SCAR about how abusive it is, just in terms of everything, the cycle of operations. I'm like, now, doesn't this suck less?
If you have arms that are in any way, shape.
And it's very light for the shooter. But apparently that's because all the energy just stays in the receiver to beat itself up.
And if you've got arms, you're kind of in, you got some narrow space for hand. Like, I put my hand on a SCAR rail, I take up the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like,
the SCAR was designed in that weird period of time where we thought we were going to shove 10-inch barrels into everything, and we didn't give it any more handguard.
What else was a product of that? Oh, the Beretta ARX was a product of that era as well, where it just doesn't have enough handguard because they're like, it's going to be a 10.3. It's always going to be a 10.3. It will never be anything but a 10.3.
We will never, ever change from 10.3. 10.3 is for everything.
Right.
So, yeah. So the 17, super hot, but high on the crazy scale. I've got one. I really enjoy it. I don't regret buying it, but I'm not going to pretend it wasn't a resource hog getting it set up the way I want it to. because it won't.
I'm just going to disagree with one key point on that, is that I don't think it's a 9 hot. It looks like an UGG boot with a barrel.
Hold on. I want to defend this here. Out the box, you're 100% right. It's like a 4 out the box. Once you dump that additional 3 to 5 grand into it, that's a sexy looking gun.
Oh, yeah. So it's like a Hollywood 9, where it's like, right, like you see some actresses like just walking down the street and you're like, what the fuck? And then you see them like all done up like Hollywood style and you're like, now you're a 9. How did like, that happen?
The scar, you got to take the glasses off. You got to pull down the ponytail. But okay. there is a hot girl in there.
All right. I'll consider that as an option. So, Jack, your turn.
I'm going to take the easy one. Well, no, I think I'll save that. I'll save it. I'm going to bring the G3 out, which was actually my first semi-automatic rifle I ever fired in my life. Was a Century Setme. The Setme was the Spanish variant of the G3 that was built before the G3 was actually built. And you get all the cool HK features you want. Slap charging handle, roller delayed blowback, controls you can't really reach, awkward mag changes, funky but hard to use sights, difficult optic mounting. I just want to be fair. The G3, in any of its variations, HK91, whatever you want to call it, is probably like a 6 on the hot scale.
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah, it's not an attractive weapon, but it is also not an unattractive weapon like the way the SVT is. Like the SVT is an ugly weapon.
It's not super attractive, and to like really get it to look good, you got to get the right handguard on. You got to get the big triangle handguard on it. That's a $300 plastic handguard. You got to get the collapsing stock, which is going to suck to use, or you got to buy a spur stock, which is like $400. You're stuck with these magazines that are $5 a pop. So like, yeah, I can buy all the mags in the world, but I still have to stuff it with 308. It's not an accurate gun. And no matter what anyone wants to tell you, the PSG-1 variant of the G3, and it is a variant, let's be fair, isn't that accurate of a gun either.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I know they're coming for me.
That will get them.
They're coming for me. I don't care. I've shot one. It's also 19.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
18 pounds. Like, look, I don't care what Solid Snake told you. It's just a semi-auto. But you do get the slap charging handle, and that's a lot of fun. Oh, you also can't reload your brass.
Oh, yeah, because by the G3. What it does to your brass is it punches the extractor claw punches a hole through it, grabs it, rips half of the case neck open, and then throws it into Decatur County. Like, doesn't matter who you are, it ends up in Decatur County.
The H&K, like, defined that. defined
like,
the brass.
If you were looking for, like, a lightweight battle rifle back in the day, it was your option. You handle one of those and you handle an FAL next to it, I would take the G3 every time.
Mm-hmm.
The funny story about the G3 is because Germany originally had the G1, which was a FAL. But because of Germany and Belgium being very frenemy during that era,
you mean all of recorded history?
Yeah, yeah. But Belgium was still being spicy to Germany as Germany was trying to rebuild after the war, and West Germany was trying to build into a modern NATO military force and everything like that. And Belgium was, you know, pissing in the wind and calling it rain for them. And so Germany eventually decided to go, well, piss off, we'll do our own thing so we can build a domestic copy of the gun, because Belgium wouldn't allow them to build domestic FALs the way like NATO was supposed to just universally pick the FAL. They didn't.
Speaking of NATO being supposed to universally
three instead, and it ended up being like FN through like being snooty and not wanting to license the FAL ended up making Germany invent the greatest competitor to the FAL during the era. Germany was like, screw you, I'll make my own FAL with hookers and blow.
Yeah, I mean, except Germany doesn't really do things with hookers and blow because they're German. But speaking
of... and the stimulants.
Yes. All right, so speaking of, I'm going to take my second one of NATO not universally adopting the FAL. We're going to bring you to one of the guns that I hate so very, very, very much, and it's the M14. And I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. This is the lowest hanging fruit. But... here is one of the problems. The M14 is actually a really good looking gun. It looks enough like a Garand that you're like, oh, that looks good. And it, you know, even with the weird box magazine that you have to rock into place that doesn't lock in correctly unless you say three Hail Marys first, even with the operating system that wasn't even designed for the 308 cartridge and is wildly unreliable in those environments with an external magazine, even though it weighs 175 pounds and yet somehow manages to be completely uncontrollable and full auto fire, it's hot. It is the closest thing.
Good looking rifle in its 22 inch wood stocked, just.
But you know what though? It's also hot when it's like a SOCOM 16 with a comp and like a black laminate stock and a rail.
Even pretend that the Sage stock didn't look fucking like it.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Pounds,
but it looked amazing.
You know what?
So futuristic and just awesome.
You know what the M14 is? It is a hot goth girlfriend that can cover up her tattoos and wear a sundress and go to Baptist church on Sunday and still look good, and then dress like an absolute hoe when she's in her SOCOM 16 outfit and fucking just looks great. And you know what else she is? She is batshit crazy. She is a 10 crazy. She might cut you in your sleep.
Call somebody real quick.
Yeah, do you need Jack's like, I should call her. Look, she could either be like, the two examples that I think of when I think of the M14 and the hot crazy scale, it's either like the hot goth girlfriend that can also like dress up for church, or it's a Latina and she's really, really hot and she'll take you to church on Sundays too, but she might cut you in your sleep because you
in church.
She might actually cut you in church because you looked wrong at the woman playing the piano. So hot and so crazy. And the M14 is without a doubt completely and utterly schizophrenic, because in that SOCOM 16 configuration, which looks amazing as an example, it also doesn't fucking work. It doesn't.
If you look at all the battle rifles we are talking about, the only one you can't really run like a battle rifle is the M14, is the M1A, because magazines don't freaking rock in or lock in or anything like that. There are no modern controls on it like that work the way that you want them to. And if you think about how these things are shot, the most popular way these things are shot is like Camp Perry National Match style slow fire at target, which they're not super accurate. They work.
But that's the thing, right? To get the M14 accurate enough to
run like all the other guns, you can run like fighting rifles. This one you have to run like a target rifle, and if it's out of tune, if the barrels, like, it as soon as it starts going, it is a beast to keep.
Well, and that's the other thing, right? So to get the M14 accurate enough to actually use it at Camp Perry, you have to basically make it not an M14 anymore. And what I mean is they have to put in a match grade trigger. You've got to put in a national match barrel. You've got to glass bed the action into the stock. You have to do all of these things. I didn't even know what glass bedding was before I tried to shoot an M14, but it's really, it makes everything super accurate and it reduces the insane vibrations of the operating system going kerchunk, kerchunk. Because the barrel, which is 22 inches long, when that op system is going ker-chunk back and forth, likes to go, which I don't know if you guys know this, that's bad for accuracy. So yeah, the M14, absolutely a smoke show. 10 hotness.
For barrel.
10 for crazy. Yeah, the M14 is so hot, but it's so crazy and is also completely useless as a fighting rifle, which is why we yeeted it into the sun after exactly 2 seconds of Vietnam.
It's the most we made this work just enough.
Mm-hmm.
So much effort making it work just enough that the minute we could like, bye, we did.
All right, Keith, what's your second one?
The second one, I am going to drag from the depths, the IWI 4-7.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is probably when you need to talk about the Tavor.
I'm going to talk about the Tavor 7, and I'm going to rank it as a 7 on the hot scale, because she's a little thick, she's a little short. But on the crazy scale, we're going to go with a solid 5. This thing runs.
All right, so before we go into this, if you guys don't need to want to listen to 2 minutes of unhinged bullpup content, now is a good time to like go get a Coke, maybe go do some push-ups, something like that. All right, continue.
It's my cue. I'll be back.
Here we go with the bullpup fans. So the Tavor 7 ranks 7 on the hot scale. It's a little thick. It's a little short. It's heavy, but it runs. It runs on SR25 pattern magazines. It's got an adjustable system. You can suppress it. You can throw any of the standard 7.62 muzzle devices on it with a counter. It's a well-designed gun. Where it falls short is because of its barrel lockup system. You can't get this into some of the match grade accuracy you can get out of modern platforms like the SCAR or the SR25, which have a tighter barrel lockup, and they don't have some of the accuracy limits that the 7 has. The 7 can outshoot like the G3 and the other Cold War pattern, the M14 and the other Cold War pattern guns. It can outshoot them by a small margin, but it is going to fall short when you compare it to the SCAR 17 or the SR25, which have a superior barrel lockup inside the receiver. However, she's short, she's thick. You can run around with it. A lot of fun. Takes the SR25 pattern magazine, so you can shove 25 308 pills through it real quick, reload it real fast. Ambidextrous controls, easy to swap around. It's a good 308. It's just not in that accuracy standard that America really likes out of 308s, which is hovering around that minute of angle area. She hunts at about 2. So, you know.
Yeah, we do kind of like our 308s to be accurate.
So, yeah, and bullpup. We'll wake Jack up here as he's taking a nap.
Yeah. The bullpup content's over, Jack. Welcome back.
Sorry. I nodded off due to unnecessary designs. Anyway.
Which means, Jack, you know what this leaves you as the last gun list.
So I do want to say that Keith missed one giant point about the Tavor 7. And that is, it's the Halo Battle Rifle. And that's cool. Like
it is.
It is straight up the Halo battle rifle.
So
I didn't even think of that because the battle rifle in Halo is a 7.62.
It's the assault rifle is a 7.62, which there's a whole series of issues with that. The battle rifle is a 9.35 millimeter.
Yowza.
Feels like 8.
On 3-round bursts. please keep in mind that the Spartan is 7.5 feet tall in power armor.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the SR25. Now, I know what you're going to say, but Jack, that's not the only AR pattern battle rifle. The AR-10 has a long history of war crimes. It has a long history of war crimes. I'm very familiar with it. but it's not as prevalent as the SR-25 pattern is today. And there's some big differences between the AR-10 and the SR-25, but here's the deal. Winners get to write history, and the SR-25 is one.
Absolutely.
Now,
and it's better than the Knights Armament gun.
There are a lot of different variations out there. I'm going to say pick any of them. And what are you talking about? You're talking about a 10. It's a good looking gun. You take a match grade SR-25 and that thing looks cool. You take a heavy three gun race gun SR-25, it looks cool. You take a spray painted up, this is one of my favorite stories. They took SR-25s, which had 20-inch barrels in a rack, and sawed the barrels off with a hacksaw in a tent to create a 14.5-inch gun that when Knights found out about it, they were like, you shouldn't have done that. They're like, we did it! It still worked!
That sounds about right.
And I've seen those things, and I'm like, oh my god, they did it. They did, like, can you imagine hacksawing a match-grade barrel, and it works still?
No, I cannot. I would have been team Knights with that and been like, what? And I mean, but you're right, though. They all look good. Like the HK, the M110A1 that we've got at my other job looks fucking cool and is great to shoot.
It is a good looking gun.
You're going to get good looking guns. Minimum. I like the fact that we understand that you might want a 10 round magazine for some things. Keeping that gun light for a movement, 20 rounds is your standard. And thanks to Magpul, you get a 50-round drum option for your SR-25 mags. Why?
That's really in the Tavor 7, too, by the way.
Fair enough. Then it really is the Halo battle, right?
We'll get lighter. Wap, wap, wap.
But as with all things in the world, you don't get a 10 hot without some 10 crazy. And this is where I'm kind of going to say, like, I remember back in the day when 50 rounds was about what you could get out of a 308 AR before it got real chunky and real not working good. It's gotten better. But there was a time where they weren't the most reliable guns. And if you think buying a SCAR is expensive, you ain't bought a Knights gun yet.
let's go to our friends over at guns.com and type in HK-417. Oh,
yeah, HK-417. Let's just see what that kicks back. Let's I think say. It's MR-762.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry. I always forget that I don't understand why they wouldn't just call it that. Oh, my God. So the MR-762 that is in the M110A1 configuration, would you like to light $7,000 on fire?
No, I wouldn't.
it does look good, though, doesn't it?
It really does.
Frick. Yes, the MR-762A1 LRP-3 is what I'm looking at, and it is 7 G's over at our friends at guns.com. Just the bare bones MR-762 is $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
Makes my chest hurt a little bit.
Spicy meatball right there.
Yeah, so you're going to be spending money for it. But yeah, that is – so what would you score that on a crazy scale? Because that's not a it's not a 10 crazy. It would – if we were having this conversation –
It's like, okay, 10 sets your clothing on fire in your front yard. This is like an 8. You know why? Because you got to go buy this thing Balenciaga. You don't even know how to spell Balenciaga, okay? You don't know what Michael Kors are.
She gets mad that the restaurant doesn't have white tablecloths.
Right, like, this girl has never had still water in her life.
Nope.
And she's choosy about her sparkling water. She's like, I don't want club soda. If it doesn't say San Pellegrino or Perrier on the bottle, get right. That trash away from me. She shits on Topo Chico.
Like, Netflix and chill. No. Yacht me that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that is, yes. This is an heiress, is what it is. This is dating Paris Hilton. That's
is it worth it? Absolutely. Could she probably afford to pick up the check? Yeah, I would think so. But she's not going.
Yeah. No, I think that's the comparison here. The SR25, it's Paris Hilton. It is hot, but it is, there's a price
tag.
It's hot,
but hot. It is a lot.
There's a price tag associated with it. And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the end of this episode. What do you think of our hot, crazy matrix for battle rifles? If you disagree with that, that's fine. Keep your opinion to yourself and just live with being wrong. Especially if you're mad at me about the M14, because I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. And Jack's not wrong about the SR25. The only thing in this that we're that you guys are allowed to send complaints and gripes about is us including the 247. Okay? So that's it. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, watching, and all of that other stuff. Tune in next week for an all-new episode of Gun Day Brunch.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.